So some of you will be in here a couple of weeks ago where I shared the Word of God linked to the vision. So hopefully most of you now know God has, when we went away to Pilgrim Hall, he gave us the vision for his church. And it's a very simple vision, but it's going to come to pass. We are to bring you the good news of new life of Jesus to the community. We're to represent Jesus by being an ark and a refuge. And we're to make disciples who wholeheartedly serve Jesus through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we're to be a church of impact. Amen. And I talked about, in order to fulfill this vision, God is looking for us to be his servants. God is looking for us to be willing servants, ready to be used for his glory. And I'll just recap some of the scriptures I talked about. But I started off talking about when Jesus met his disciples, they were fishing, minding their business, just ordinary guys, and he said, "Come follow me." And Peter and Andrew and the other guys just dropped their nets, dropped their possessions, dropped their livelihoods, even left their buddies, their family, and went off to follow Jesus. It said they just left their nets. They weren't worried, "Oh, let's put them in the locker and making sure they're fine. Let's make sure everything's safe." They just left everything and followed Jesus. They haven't met him before. They just followed Jesus. They didn't say, "Let's just have a little pray about it, let's think about it." They just followed Jesus. And God has got a role for all of us to be his servants and ministers. I then talked about Jesus meeting the rich ruler. And this is a guy who'd followed all the ways of God all his life, followed all the commandments, and he said to Jesus, "What are the ways to eternal life?" And Jesus talked about the commandments, and he said, "I've done all this." And then he said, "Sell all your possessions." And the rich young ruler's heart was sad because his heart was with his possessions, not with Jesus. And he walked away. He walked away from Jesus. This is a guy who had done all the commandments, everything, but he didn't want to sell his possessions. At that moment, he turned his back on Jesus. And then the contrast, the widow's offering, who just gave her small possession, her little livelihood, and Jesus just sort of said, "Wow, look at that testimony from that woman." And I just gave you a bit of a challenge and said, "Oh, you're going to be serving Christ wholeheartedly. If you're actively fellowshipping here in this church, or you're fellowshipping somewhere else, and God has given the church a vision, but he's also given you a vision for your life, are you going to wholeheartedly serve him and let go of your nets and say, 'I am all in for you, Jesus. No matter what the cost, no matter what is going on in my mind, I'm going to serve you no matter what.' Are you ready?" And I talked about getting your ducks in a row. Quack, quack. It's an expression we use here. Getting all your ducks in a row. If you're waiting for all your ducks in a row to serve Jesus, you're going to be waiting for a long time for these ducks to get in a row. God just wants to use you now. It doesn't matter whether you may not be experienced, or you may be young, you may be ill. You may be going through a rough patch. God just wants you now. Don't wait for your ducks to get in a row. And I just really wanted to recap a little bit of this. And then we're going to have some prayer at ministry time. And I just want to give you the opportunity today to sort of say, "I'm all in for you, Jesus." You may not be a believer of Jesus. You may be sort of just curious. And maybe this is the day where you sort of say, "I'm going to be like Peter and Andrew. I don't know you intimately, Jesus, but I'm just going to just drop my nets and follow you. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. Your word says that. In Matthew 6, Matthew 6, and verses 19 to 34. Matthew 6, 19 to 34. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will also. That rich young ruler's heart was with his possessions. It wasn't with Jesus or God. He thought it was, but it wasn't. When push came to the shove, his heart was with earthly possessions. The lamp of your body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Just an aside, Ian was talking about plugging in the socket for power. If your eyes are fixed on the Word of God daily, and as Fiona said, if you're communing with fellow believers, your heart will be powerful and on fire for God. If your eye is reading the Word of God, if it's not, and you're just soaking up things of the world in your eyes, I suggest your heart will be of the world. Feed yourself off the Word of God. No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and riches. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put it on. Is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yes, I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O you a little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what we shall eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As we talk about letting down our nets for Jesus, I'm just going to pick a few points which may hinder us doing that. I've touched on one just then. Where is your heart at? Is it with the Lord, or is it with the things of the earth? Is it with your possessions, or is it with the Lord? Because if your heart is with possessions, with the world, cares of the world, your heart is going to get dragged and dragged and dragged with worry and anxiety, and it's just going to be consumed. Hear the scriptures, Jesus saying, don't worry about your food and your clothes and your health. Why are you going to do that? Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not just the kingdom of God, but righteousness. And I'll come on to that in a moment. And all these things will be added unto you. That doesn't say you're going to be ill, some not going to be ill. That doesn't say you're not going to have times where you're looking at your wallet and thinking, where's my next penny coming from? That doesn't mean you're going to have times where you may be thinking, where are my mates? That doesn't mean you're going to have times at work, which is a bit troublesome. But God will give you the sustaining strength. God's miraculous power will intervene. God will bring the sick into healing. God will sustain you. God will strengthen you. God will give you the power to get through. God wants to know where your heart lies today. Is it with Him?
Or is it with the things of the earth?
You can't, it said in the word then, you can't serve two masters. It's either one or the other. You can't have. Who's ever had two bosses at work? It's a bit awkward sometimes. You know, it just doesn't work. Because one person's saying one thing and it just doesn't work. So, you can only serve the Lord or the things of the world. And not forgetting what is behind or who is behind the things of the world. It's Satan. So you may not realise it, but if you're not laying down your life for Jesus and following Him, you're kind of following self. You're following Satan, and you don't even realise it. In Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape and refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not only the earth but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that have been shaken, as are the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So we need to be hearing the voice of God. We need to be serving Him as God. But also, Ian touched on it about the board. Where is your fuse at? We need to be serving God with a righteous heart, not a sinful heart. If sin is consuming your heart, you're not going to be able to serve God effectively. You're just not going to be able to do it. Is sin prohibiting you wholeheartedly dropping your net for Christ? Is sin, the things of this world, flesh, getting in the way? If it is, now's the time to repent and confess your sins to the Lord, and He will give wholeness and forgiveness to you. So, where are you storing your treasures? Are you serving God with the righteous heart? And when we serve God, are you allowing compromise to creep into your life? This is where faith is so important. There's just two accounts I want to touch on, and I'll paraphrase, but I'll give you the scripture reference. In Genesis chapter 12, we hear the account of Abraham. It's Abraham. God had given him the promises. God was going to tell him, God told him all the promises he's going to do for him. In Genesis 12. I'll just read out the first three verses. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And it goes on. So God gave him, Abraham, a clear promise. He's going to make a great nation out of him. And he keeps reiterating this promise as you read the scriptures in Genesis. Was Abraham wholeheartedly leaning on God in faith? Or did sometimes he, in his mind, compute and try and do things in his own strength? There's two accounts. There was more than two accounts, but I'm going to touch on two, where Abraham took matters in his own hands. There was a famine going on, in the land, Abraham took his family to Egypt. And Abraham's wife, Sarai, before she came to Sarah, was a beautiful woman, it says in the Word of God. And Abraham was a bit worried that the people of Egypt, particularly the princes and the king, may cock their eyes on his wife. And that would spell trouble. But hang on a minute, God just told Abraham that he was going to make a great nation out of him. If anyone curses him, this man is going to be cursed. So God basically gave him a blank check and said, I am going to be with you no matter what. Anyone who tries to touch you, they're in trouble. But Abraham went into this land. He's been given the promise. He's been given the vision. His first challenge, what did he say? Sarah, we're going to forget the fact that you're my wife. We'll just sort of say we're related. You're my sister. And you probably know the account. And Pharaoh took the lady in his palace. Things started to go wrong in his household. And it soon became clear that Abraham was a bit selective with the truth. I think Sarai was kind of related to him. It was probably her half-sister. But he didn't say, actually, it was his wife. She was his wife. So sometimes you may think you're not telling the truth, you're telling a lie. But there's a lesson here. There's a little side lesson. Always be candid. Always be truthful in situations. Praise God. God is a gracious and forgiving God. Later on in chapter 20, he did it again. He did it again. With Abi, I can't pronounce it very well, but Abimel, he did it again. But again, God stepped in and graciously forgave him after he rebuked him. He said, oh yeah, she's my relation. But he didn't say she was my wife. And another big, big, big compromise is when Sarah was getting a little bit in the more mature years, and she was wanting a baby so much. And I'm sure she'd heard the promise God had given to her husband about this great nation. We're thinking, well, where's this coming from? And eventually, her patience ran out. Her flesh crept in, and she compromised big style. She had a maid servant, Hagar, and she said, husband, go and do the business with her and give me a child. Can you get your head around that? Can you get your head around that? That just shows how desperate she was, but she was kind of happy for her husband to have a physical relationship with another woman just because she wasn't willing to trust and believe the Lord's promise. The Lord gave a crystal clear promise. This is the vision I have for you, Abraham. You're going to have a great nation. He only had one wife, and she was alive. So that suggests God was going to use Sarah. But he compromised, and Ishmael was born, and the rest is history. But God was faithful. Are you allowing compromise to creep into your life? If God has told you, these are the plans I've got for you, this is the plans I've got for you as an individual, as a family, or as a church body, never let compromise creep in. A day is like 1,000 years to Christ, and vice versa.
To us.
We're so challenged about time. Instant
coffee, instant TV.
You can record things, saw the advert today, you can record 8 programs at once, I think it was, and watch them at the same time. You know, my day was get the old Betamax video out and write down on it what you want to record on it. But now it's just everything's feed. We're lazy. I mean, we're impatient. We want things now. We just want, you know, everything. We We used to go to the bakers. We want instant bread now. And when God gives a promise, it will come to pass. Amen? It will come to pass. Important thing is, Abraham heard that promise. Church, get on your knees and seek God that His will be done in your life. His will to be done in your life. Not your will. His will. His will is perfect for you. So don't let compromise. But praise God, when Abraham did compromise, he repented. God restored him. He gave him a new name and a new heart. And bang, this is where we see a different Abraham. I'm going to talk about faith being confirmed and God making a way. Genesis chapter 22. And this may happen to us, church. You know, we're in the early days of this new vision, and we're excited, and we're still buzzing a little bit from Pilgrim Hall, and we want to, you know, we're all at a nice moment. But we may come to situations where God tells us to do some bold, audacious things in the coming months. Very bold, audacious things. And we may have really conversations. Remember what Hagar did when she had a really conversation. You know, her lack of faith led her to do something very extreme. Not only she promoted her husband to be an adulterer, but she went against her God's plan. Don't allow compromise. But this is the same man with a different heart, his heart being renewed, and look what happened. Now it came to pass, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I'll tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place of which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So the two went up together. And they came to a place which God told him, and Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." But Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by the thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt sacrifice of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The Lord will provide. He is our provider. He will allow his vision for your life, for his church, to come to pass. He is our provider. Even when we can't physically see the provision from God, He will give us the provision. And I praise God, it's encouraging to see a man who told a bit of a fib, or a big fib, who his wife was, to his enemies, or to people who he thought were hostile. A man who compromised big style by having physical relationships with his servant to kind of please his wife, then had a change of heart. When God said to do something absolutely mind-boggling extreme, He didn't compromise. In his heart, he said to his son, God will provide. He was willing to sacrifice his own son. Can you imagine the conversation at the bottom of the hill he'd have had with his Sarah if he'd done that? Can you imagine? But he was willing to face that and put God first, even before his wife, even before his son. His precious son, he was willing to do that for Christ. A change of heart. I believe God wants us to have a renewed or even a changed heart if we're going to wholeheartedly serve him. And God will provide. So, church, what may be inhibiting you to drop your nets and say to God, I'm all in for you? Is it fear, like Abraham did? Fear? It's quite legitimate to have fear in a human sense. We all have fears, don't we? Different things may give us fears, but it's a human natural emotion to have fear about stuff. But perfect love of Christ casts out all fear. Amen? He gives us peace. Our previous experiences letting us down from getting out of the boat and dropping our nets. I praise God Abraham didn't let his previous experiences let him prevent him. He didn't think, oh God, I can't do this now. I can't continue to be this great nation because I let you down two or three times. Big style. He just carried on walking in God's purposes. But don't be robbed from any misdemeanors you may have done in the past. If you've repented from them and God has restored you, the past is past, it's wiped clean. The cross, Jesus did on the cross, bang, the slate is clean. Amen? Amen. You may trip up, you may fall into the odd booby trap of Satan here and there, but God restores, he brings, he heals our iniquities of sin if we confess them. Is it tribulations? Are they getting in the way? Trials? Are they getting in the way? We may be going through legitimate trials of issues in our lives, but are they getting in the way of God? Are you saying your trial is bigger than God? You may not think you're capable of walking in God's plans. Sarah thought that, but God can do the impossible. Amen. God can do the impossible. God has an answer for all your hindrances you may put in front of him. He has an answer for everything. Whether it's fear, he'll give you peace. Whether it's through timidity, he'll give you boldness. Whatever it is, he'll give you the answer. In Ephesians 3:14-21. Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Is anything getting in the way of you, of walking in God's purposes? Here's the verse you need to read out time and time again. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The power which Ian referred to before surpasses all our understanding, surpasses all hindrances which we may put in the way of God. And we're going to have a time of worship now, and some of you may have seen the email and
But I'm going to remind you.
This is not an arm-twisting exercise, but what I said in the week was, I feel God is nudging us to make a bold commitment to Him. It's not to me, it's not to Ian, it's not to Rachel or Liz, this is to God. And it doesn't matter whether you're fellowshipping here or elsewhere, but I believe sometimes it's good almost to renew your vow to God and say, God, I am all in for you. And I've written a simple note, and it says, I, blank, recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I accept that Jesus is my Saviour. I surrender all of my life to Jesus Christ. I commit all my plans and dreams to God. I want to live my life according to His perfect will, which is preordained for me. Through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, I will walk in faith and obedience to the Word of God. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
If you can say yes to that statement, I'm going to encourage you, and I'm not going to come and twist your arm or tip your chair over. It's between you and God.
I'm going to encourage you to write in a slip a paper, write your name, fold it, and put it in the net.
And I'm going to pray and drop these nets. And it's just a tangible way of saying to God, we're all in for you. If you can't wholeheartedly put your name on there, I suggest just don't do it for the moment. Pray to God that He'll give you a heart to put your name on there. So don't do this out of peer pressure.
Just, I really want us to just mean business for Christ. And we're going to have a time of worship. We're going to have a time of prayer.
Some of these things I've shared today,
may have resonated with you. You may be going through fears. You may be going through doubts. You may be going through worries. Things may be in the way of writing your name on that piece of paper. I would like to pray with you. Ian and Liz are here to pray with you as well. You may be I want to write my name down there. I'm all in. And I just want God's supernatural power. I want God to touch me. I want God to just equip me big style to go and do whatever He wants. We're here to pray for you. This is really important, church, that God doesn't want just coasters, some drifters in His body. He wants men, women, boys and girls who are just, they're not superheroes, they're just ordinary men and women who have just dropped their nets and their heart is with the Jesus. He will use you mightily.
I'm just going to close in prayer and Father God, I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are a mighty sovereign God. I thank You, Father God, that nothing is too difficult for You, Lord. I thank You, Father God, that You are a gracious and forgiving God. That, Lord, You, when Abraham turned his back to You, Lord, when he compromised, where his lack of faith made him do some really daft decisions, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You were gracious enough to forgive him. I thank You, Lord, that when You died on the cross, You paid the price of sin. And You just call us to call out Your name and we will be saved. Father, I thank You that each one of us here listening have been made in Your image. And You have perfect plans for us and our lives. I pray, Lord, that You will meet each one of us where we're at, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You make a way where there seems to be no way. I pray, Lord, that You'll make a way today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'll stir our hearts. That, Lord, we'll be like Peter and Andrew to drop their nets. That we'll be like Abraham. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice because he was heeding Your